The one it was hard to get a fix on was June. She taught history and English at the colored high school. But what she really loved was music. If I got finished early in the honey house, I went to the kitchen and watched May and Rosaline cook, but really I was there to listen to June play the cello. She played music for dying people, going to their homes and even to the hospital to serenade them into the next life. I had never heard of such a thing, and I would sit at the table drinking sweet iced tea, wondering if this was the reason June smiled so little. Maybe she was around death too much. I could tell she was still bristled at the idea of me and Rosaline staying. It was the one sore point about our being here. I overheard her talking to August one night on the back porch as I was coming across the yard to go to the bathroom in the pink house. Their voices stopped me beside the hydrangea bush.
"You know she's lying," said June.
"I know," August told her. "But they're in some kind of trouble and need a place to stay. Who's gonna take them in if we don't? A white girl and a Negro woman? Nobody around here."
For a second, neither spoke. I heard the moths landing against the porch light bulb. June said,
"We can't keep a runaway girl here without letting somebody know."
August turned toward the screen and looked out, causing me to step deeper into the shadows and press my back against the house.
"Let who know?" she said. "The police? They would only haul her off someplace. Maybe her father really did die. If so, who better is she gonna stay with for the time being than us?"
"What about this aunt she mentioned?"
"There's no aunt, and you know it," said August.
June's voice sounded exasperated.
"What if her father didn't die in this so-called tractor accident? Won't he be looking for her?"
A pause followed. I crept closer to the edge of the porch.
"I just have a feeling about this, June. Something tells me not to send her back to some place she doesn't want to be. Not yet, at least. She has some reason for leaving. Maybe he mistreated her. I believe we can help her."
"Why don't you just ask her point blank what kind of trouble she's in?"
"Everything in time," August said. "The last thing I want is to scare her off with a lot of questions. She'll tell us when she's ready. Let's be patient."
"But she's white, August."
This was a great revelation. Not that I was white, but that it seemed like June might not want me here because of my skin color. I hadn't known this was possible. To reject people for being white. A hot wave passed through my body. Righteous indignation is what Brother Gerald called it. Jesus had righteous indignation when he turned over the tables in the temple and drove out the thieving money changers. I wanted to march up there, flip a couple of tables over, and say, "Excuse me, June Boatwright, but you don't even know me. Let's see if we can help her," August said as June disappeared from my line of sight. "We owe her that."
"I don't see that we owe her anything," June said.
A door slammed. August flipped off the light and let out a sigh that floated into the darkness. I walked back toward the honey house, feeling ashamed that August had seen through my hoax, but relieved, too, that she wasn't planning on calling the police or sending me back. Yet. Yet, she'd said. Mostly I felt resentment at June's attitude. As I squatted on the grass at the edge of the woods, the pea felt hot between my legs. I watched it puddle in the dirt, the smell of it rising into the night. There was no difference between my piss and June's. That's what I thought when I looked at the dark circle on the ground. Piss was piss. Every evening after supper, we sat in their tiny den around the television set with the ceramic bee planter on top. You could hardly see the screen for the philodendron vines that dangled around the news pictures. I liked the way Walter Cronkite looked, with his black glasses and his voice that knew everything worth knowing. Here was a man who was not against books. That was plain. Take everything T. Ray was not, shape it into a person, and you would get Walter Cronkite.